Hello, my name is Valerie Coleman, and I'm the host of the College of the Ozarks podcast, Our Story. The vision of College of the Ozarks is to develop citizens of Christ-like character who are well-educated, hardworking, and patriotic. From passionate professors to first-generation college students, each one has left what is easy and known to reach for something more. Their stories are inspiring. Some of them will bring you to your knees. Some will make you stand and cheer. Step into the shoes of the cycle breakers. You won't regret it, and you just may come away inspired. Well, thank you everyone for joining us once again for the College of the Ozarks podcast, Our Story. Today, I have with me a wonderful friend and a leader on campus, Coach Becky Mullis. And we are going to dive right in here in just a moment, and we're going to talk a little bit about a crazy, wonderful, great year that she had, but also really try to give her a moment to talk about leadership and what that means to her and what it's like to go through the ups and downs of athletics and winning and losing and how you can keep your cool and come out on top. And man, when I think of leadership at College of the Ozarks, I certainly think about our athletic program. So after 11 years at the helm of the Lady Bobcats program, Mullis has helped the C of O program become one of the top in the nation. A key player herself for 2 years after transferring from John Brown University, Mullis bleeds maroon and white. She is strongly committed to the mission of the college and strives to recruit student athletes who meet the standards of the college and can uphold the tradition of the women's basketball program, both on and off the court. And that is no small order there. But good afternoon, Coach Mullis. Thank you for taking a little time and joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So what's going on in your world of athletics in the summer? What have you been busy with?
We had basketball camp in June, so we hosted an elementary camp, a junior high team camp, a high school team camp, and then we had an individual camp for grade 7 through 12. So we had a couple weeks of those, and now just planning visits for upcoming recruits and also some downtime as well. So it's a little less hectic, I would say, in the summer after camps are over, but just talking to recruits and emailing and texting and talking to them mainly right now.
Sure, absolutely. And I can imagine that is a tall order and keeps you busy. Tell us a little bit about that process. What does that look like? Do you visit a lot of different high schools and watch students, student athletes play, or how does that work?
I primarily watch, every coach is different. Every college is different. But for me, we have such an area of rich talent, and we recruit so locally that I go out a lot during the high school season. So that keeps me away from watching a lot of AAU games in the summer, but I prefer to watch them in their high school setting. And so I watch a ton of games. If someone contacts me, I try to watch them, talk to a lot of area coaches, watch film on kids, look at their social media, just do a lot to see if they're A, a good fit for C of O, and then B, can they play? And then from there, it's kind of like dating.
Swipe left.
if I feel like they're a good fit, both on and off the court, then I'll, and I try to watch them play a couple times beforehand to see if I think they're a fit. I may think that I know this kid can play, but what is her attitude like? How does she talk to the officials? How does she treat the officials? How does she treat her coach? Does she look in the stands at her parents? Is she a good teammate? Because I don't want them to know that I'm there, because they can always probably turn it on and off. And so I want to watch them when they don't know that I'm there. And then from there, if I like what I see, then stay after the game, talk to them, and then go from there and try to build a relationship and have them for a visit and show them all about C of O and have them meet our team, maybe have them come down for a game. So every kid's kind of different. Everyone has a different story as to how I recruited them, how I found out about them. Sometimes it's their high school coach contacting me. Sometimes they contact me. Sometimes you know, fans tell me about a player that I need to watch, read about him in the paper or online. So there's a lot of different avenues that I use to find players.
Wow. So it's quite the lengthy process, really.
It is. It's not a one day thing. It's really try to build a relationship with them and get to know their parents, and then them also get to know me and get to know our players and our program.
Wow. Well, I just want to say thank you for the job that you do and for putting your heart and soul into that. And I know you do. And I know that you were in their shoes as a player at C of O. But I would just love for people to maybe understand a little better what that C of O athlete is expected to do, all of the things when you factor in workstations and academics. And I just feel like we have the best students on the planet. I mean, when it comes to student athletes, they are bar none. They are superior with all of the efforts that they put into that. Can you tell our listeners just a little bit more about that and what's expected of them?
Well, our student athletes do everything that the normal student does. They're going to class, they're working 15 hours a week, they're going to chapel, combos, and then you throw in at least 10 hours of practice a week, and then the travel. And the expectation is the same across the board. So if we get in at 2 or 3 in the morning, which happens quite often because we travel so much, if they're supposed to be at work at 7, then they're expected to be at work at 7.
They're just at work at 7.
And if they have class at 8, they're expected to be class at 8. So when we unload the bus, pull up to Ashcroft dorm, and the last thing they hear from me is, you better be at class and you better be at work. And so it's asking a lot of them. They're coming back early from Thanksgiving break. They're coming back early for Christmas break. This year we were at the national tournament during all of spring break. And then they worked this summer at our camps. And so they worked to build up their work hours that they miss whenever we're gone on road trips. And then they can use those hours to make up for what they miss. So it's a tall task for them. Obviously, it's very doable, but it helps to prepare them for life, makes them responsible. It's tough, but it's worthwhile, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And I think that brings me around to a number of things. First of all, what an incredible year you ladies had.
Thank you.
I mean, you've done well. You've gone to the national NAI tournament, and you correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, because I was looking at these numbers yesterday and I was just like, this is crazy. The national NAIA tournament 27 times, played in the championship game 5 times, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2012, and 2014. And now this year, you are the NCCAA Division I women's basketball champions, your first ever national title. Wow. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I think we have really great players, and so I think that it's a testament to them. So over the years, it always comes back to the players. And so we have that rich tradition that the expectation is to compete at a high level, whether NAIA or NCCAA or whatever it is, the expectation is to compete at a high level. And so I think that it is 100% about them.
It is. And I also think of the word perseverance. Is that, would you say that's a good word? If I'm thinking of you and your leadership, and we definitely want to talk a bit about leadership today, because that is something that I feel like there's so many, really, of course, across campus that are good leaders. And we talk a lot about leadership on campus and developing that in our students. But I see in action you and the other coaches and Coach Shepherd, of course, putting a huge emphasis on that. So take me a little bit behind the scenes with that, if you would. What kinds of lessons do you feel they're learning? I know you just talked about this rigorous schedule and how the expectations and the standards, and you don't let those standards down. They stay and they're the same for all the students. But talk to me about how that is, how you work that out from start to finish through the academic year. How are you, and I know your work ethic, okay? So how are you going through that process with your students and instilling in them this ability to persevere, this even desire to be a leader. I mean, how does that go for you?
Well, we start this the preseason with tough workouts. I mean, often in the mornings. And I just think for me personally, perseverance, I grew up on a farm. And so I think perseverance is just part of who I am. And so it comes a little bit natural for me. And so I think, first of all, I have to recruit players who aren't babies, for lack of a better term.
You have to have some grit to even take it on, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if I watch them play and they're complaining to the officials, or they're looking at the stance at their parents and they're rolling their eyes, or if they're not looking at their coach, I'm like, first of all, I couldn't handle it. Second of all, they're not going to make it at C of O. So I think that we have to just, I have to find really high character kids who, and I have to get to know their parents to see kind of how they have been raised. And if it's clear that they're, that they have been babied, I'm like, oh, this is going to be rough. And so I think that I just have to, I have to find kids that I know, that I have a good idea that they can make it. And then we just start with the process of in September, we start with preseason workouts, and they're not easy. And we also have really great upperclassmen who have been there, done that. And mm-hmm. so maybe when the freshmen are like, this is so hard, mm-hmm. the seniors are like, you're fine. Like, you're going to, we have been there. You can do this. And so I think that they help them probably more than I do, because they have been there and they've done it recently. And so I think just communicating with our upperclassmen about leadership, and you have to help these younger ones as they are making this jump from high school and being at home and making the jump to college, and just reassure them that they can do it, that even though it's hard and they're tired and they don't know if they can do it, you just have to reassure them that they can. And then I try to do that too. I try to meet with our freshmen every other week. I try to meet with all of our players, but I try to meet more often with our freshmen, just because their world has been rocked that first semester. And so I try to meet with them often and just encourage them that they can, in fact, do it. And
do you meet with them as a group or one-on-one?
One-on-one.
Wow.
And just,
wow.
So I think just the nature of our program kind of breeds that perseverance, because our older ones do such a good job of teaching them. And it's just kind of how it is.
Oh, I love that. So it's like a passing of the baton.
Yes, and I use that term often. Yes.
I love it. I love it. I think when our older students can model those things, and it becomes something to aspire to for the younger ones.
The Ozarks loves having visitors, so we invite you to experience all this unique place has to offer. While on campus, visit Edwards Mill and the Stained Glass Shop, where students create fabulous mixes and handcraft amazing stained glass. Grab lunch or dinner at our award-winning dining and lodging facility, the Keter Center. Make your day special with a visit to College of the Ozarks, and enjoy a place where traditional values and patriotism are still alive and well. For more, visit cofo.edu.
Well, I'm with all of this, as you kind of unfold this for us, I'm glad that you have even just a minute in the summers to maybe take a break or a breath. What do you do to unwind yourself, or to take a break or a breather?
Well, I said that I grew up on a farm, and the farm is still very dear to me. And so I have my parents' farm, and then I have some land, and I rent land from my grandparents and some from some neighbors. So I have cows, and I go up there a lot to work. So I guess that doesn't sound like much of a break, but I work a lot, and I like to work. One of my friends asked me the other day, said, do you ever just wake up and think, man, I'm just going to lay around today? I'm like, no, I don't think I've ever thought that.
That's never been a thought for you.
And so I get up and I have a road bike, and so I ride a lot. I rode 33 miles this morning before I came here, and so my goal every week is to ride 100 miles in the summer. And so hopefully get to 2,000 miles. That's my goal.
Wow, wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
And so I do that, and I love to work in the yard.
So being outside is probably a good, you know, I've heard that being outside in green space or being around water, all of those things are, we're really wired and programmed to need that. Yeah. So even though you're working, it's not work for you. It's your break.
Yep. I love to be outside. So you will not find me inside in the summer. So
gotcha.
It's just, I mean, yesterday it was 100 and I was doing some landscaping, and so it's a little touch crazy probably, but
that's
it's
great.
Just what
hey,
I do, I guess.
You know what? That's awesome. If you can take the heat, that's awesome. Well, speaking of taking the heat, we're just going to kind of go for it here. If you're ready to share from your heart today, the past few years have been difficult for athletics with all the changes, being out of the NAIA, and now you are a part of it once again. What have you learned through this process, or what was your aha moment or your takeaway through all of that?
Well, first off, I learned that I married the right man. Because he has been, so we just celebrated our 5th wedding anniversary. And so
congratulations.
Thank you. So I think, he just stood with me during the last, few years when it's been really hard. Cause so he kind of came in whenever, like, we were 2 points away from making it to the final four, in the NAIA tournament, got beat at the buzzer. So he kind of came in whenever we were, you know, kind of at one of our highest points. And then he's been with me whenever, maybe it's his fault actually. And then as it's, all the decisions that were made. So he, has been steady, and just been my sounding board. And so tying in with that, I think that I've learned of God's faithfulness.
Amen.
So I didn't get married until I was 38. And so I was, what I learned in waiting for Daniel was that God is faithful and he provided the right person in the right time. And so, and that wasn't always easy to wait, but I'm glad that I did. And so whenever all of this has been happening, I just kept telling myself that God is faithful and he was going to see me through it, see us through it. I also learned that I have great colleagues, which I already knew, and Coach Shepherd really stepped up and just led us really well because it was really hard. And our coaches all just stood together. Like, we had each other's back. We were able to talk a lot and just, we just went through it together. And I don't think that every place is like that. I've talked to other coaches and they don't get along with their fellow coaches or they don't get along with their AD. And so I think that C of O is special because of those relationships. I also think that I had to practice what I preach a little bit, because I could have ran. And so we talked about perseverance and, you know, those thoughts are definitely there at times, like, I don't know about this, and what I should do, but I could not walk out on my girls, after I preached so much to them about toughness and doing hard things and all of that. I just felt like I had to practice what I preached. And it felt like we were in the wilderness there for a while, but God is faithful. I mean, the song Great is Thy Faithfulness is one of my favorites. And I think that that's the big thing I learned just about God's faithfulness.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, thank you for having that perseverance. And I know that all of us, even workstation supervisors and professors, you know, all across campus, that is something that we have to show up for that every day. And some days are easier and some days are harder, but that to me is the mark of a good leader. And it shows that character in the good times and the bad, mm-hmm. in the hard times and the easier times, to be consistent. And I'm so thankful for that example that you set for them, and not only for them, but for all of us, because athletics is a very visible thing. And we're all watching, and the world is watching, and the region and the and our community is watching. And that's probably a little bit of a burden to bear, but probably pretty cool too, I would think. But I love hearing you be willing to just share with us, and it, everything that you're sharing just sounds pretty spot on to what I would have guessed and what I thought I was seeing, if that makes sense. So you guys are just, you're strong and you're light and salt and light. And we thank you for that. So it's good stuff. So I've got a couple more questions for you if you're game. Mm-hmm. You've had a stellar coaching career, being named Coach of the Year 4 times for the Association of Independent Colleges and 2 years for NCCAA Division I Regional Coach of the Year. What is your why? And you've kind of touched on that a little bit, but if we just really hover over that for a minute, what would you say is your why?
Well, first off, I love the game. You can't coach whatever sport it is. And so I love basketball, fell in love with it when I was in elementary school. And so first off, I'm just passionate about the game. And I also think that it athletics teaches you about life. Like, things don't always go your way. I mean, I blew out my knee. I had to rehab. All of these things that I've been through, athletics shaped me into who I am today, and the farm, but that's a different story. And second of all, I think about the coaches that impacted me. And so, when the opportunity came for me to start coaching, I wanted to have the impact that Coach Wilson and one of my high school coaches had on me. And so through coaching, I like to see our ladies just come in as freshmen when they're like, I don't know if I can make it. And then by their senior year, they're confident, they are strong, they have been through it for 4 years of doing all of these hard things, and just seeing them confident. So one of the things I tell them before they get off the bus and before we leave the locker room is head up, shoulders back. And so, if my girls are like taking a test or whatever it is that they're doing, they'll text me and they'll say, head up, shoulders back, I've got this. And so I tell them mm-hmm. that early on, I'm like, you can't go into a job interview and have your head down and slouching around. And I said, if you go on a date, any reasonable guy would not ask you out again if you were walked in with your head down and slouched shoulders. So the way that you carry yourself speaks to who you are. And so, mm-hmm. we're going to walk out on the court like that. We're going to get off the bus like that. And then whenever you go to take your test to get in, to be able to student teach or to get into grad school or whatever it is, to a job interview, you're going to take those things that you learned from basketball and you're going to apply them because you're a strong, confident female. And you can do it. And so I like watching them make that transformation. Hopefully they buy into it and do that. And the competitive side of me, I like to win. And so the why is, it doesn't matter what I do, I want to do it well.
Do it well.
And mm-hmm. I feel like God has put me here for a reason. And if I just halfway doing it, then I'm not bringing honor to him. And mm-hmm. so I think just the way that I, not to preach to them, but if the way that I go about my job, I think reflects my relationship with God. And so I just want to do everything well because I feel like he has gifted me to do that. And so if I'm teaching, if I'm riding my bike, if I'm working with my cattle, if I'm coaching, whatever it is, if I'm with Daniel, I want to be the best that I can be. And that's just kind of how I'm wired. I just really competitive and I want to do really well at whatever it is that I do. Because I think that that's what we're supposed to do. I mean, Amen. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to just kind of take the easy route and to be lazy. And so, mm-hmm. and I think that's instilled also from my parents. So those, I guess, a lot of different whys, but I like taking a group of ladies and figuring out, it's a puzzle, like figuring out how I can help them be successful. And then I like figuring out how to beat people. And so
there you go. That's the winning combination.
Those are kind of my whys, I guess.
That's awesome. So do you ever have any of these ladies kind of call you or text you later in life? So they've gone on and they're seeing some of these things kind of come to fruition in their lives, and they're so thankful that they had that beat into them. I mean, cultivated yeah. in them.
Oh yeah. I try to keep a relationship with them.
That's fun too, right?
Yeah. Like yesterday, one of them just texted me and said, "Hey, I want you to know that I'm going to have a baby." And so she graduated several years ago. And so she goes, "I didn't want you to find out from someone else." And so that meant a ton to me that she would reach out and tell me, and then just, I mean, I hear from players all the time, just mainly about their, you know, what's going on with them personally. But sometimes it'll be about, you know, what I tried to teach them. Or one said, "I thought that preseason workouts was hard, but having a newborn is way worse. I'm way more tired than I ever thought I would be."
There you go.
And so I think that those relationships are important. And you know, I don't bring them on just to have them for 4 years. Like for me, the goal is to be lifelong.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Those relationships are everything. Yeah, I agree. I have one more question that a little bit of a two-part question, but I want to go there and then we can kind of just talk about maybe a part two or a part three or whatever it takes with you, because I just feel like there's so much there when you talk about these topics, leadership and perseverance. And we all need that, and we all need to find our why. So I just like to encourage anyone listening today, maybe just needs that encouragement that you can do it. And we at College of the Ozarks love what we do. I feel like we all are there because we love watching that growth in the students and kind of buy into that. But wherever you are and whatever you're doing today, we just invite you to look to the Lord and let him help you, because there are lots of days that it's great to have an idea of where you want to go that day. And sometimes it just takes a little different path for us. And I think you guys are a great example of that. But just keeping your eyes on the Lord and knowing that he's going to help you carry it through to the finish line. And you're a great example of that. But that brings me to this last question. What is it about the college's mission and vision that inspires you? And what keeps you coming back, keeps you recruiting, and keeps you inspiring young women on their journeys?
Well, I think that C of O fits me. It fits me with my faith. It fits me with just the conservative nature of the college. And when I see our students, I see myself. I mean, I was there for 3 years as a student. I was on the 5-year plan. So the last 3 years. And so I was a small town kid, country kid, who didn't know what I was doing. And when I went to college, and so I see myself in these kids coming. I mean, if they come in with cowboy boots and cow poop on their boots, like, it's right up my alley. And so I think just the nature of the school and the work part of it fits me. I mean, so I grew up on a farm north of Lebanon, me and my two sisters, and with my parents, we did all the work. Like we worked all the time, and probably an excessive amount of work. And so whenever I got to CFO and they said, you're going to work 15 hours a week, I said, that's it. I'm used to doing that in like a day and a half maybe.
And you're like, so, you wimps, come on, what are you talking about?
And so it just fits me.
That is awesome.
With my belief system and just how I was brought up. So I can relate to them, relate to the kids. And I think it takes a unique kind of kid to make it at C of O. And so I like recruiting-wise, I like going out and finding them. I also like the competitiveness of, you know, going against other colleges, trying to get someone and trying to get a player to commit. You know, there's kind of about the chase, I guess. And So I just like that competitive nature. And plus, what keeps me going recruiting is the fact that we have to have players if we want to do well, and we got to have good players. And so just that relentlessness of finding the right fits and to finding players who are going to keep us at a high level. So I think that there's a responsibility that I feel. You know, you listed all of these accolades that that have occurred while I've been at C of O, but women's basketball at C of O was very strong prior to me. And so we had Coach Wilson, who was there for 16 years, and that's who I coached under for 11 of his 16 years. And before that, they were really good. We did some research this spring, and so we started women's basketball in the 70s. So it's been around roughly 50 years, and I think we've had four or five losing seasons. And so this tradition has been in place well before I got here. It's simply just my turn. And so I think that weight, it's a good weight, but that weight or that responsibility motivates me and keeps me going, because I don't want to be the one to let everybody down.
Let it down.
Woo. And so it keeps me recruiting. Wow. It keeps me finding the right fit. And so I think that's what drives me. Like, why C of O? It's just the fit, but it's also trying to find kids that fit as well, and trying to find a way to keep being successful on and off the court.
Mm. I'm in awe of our students sometimes. They are different, you know, and especially a C of O student athlete. But I love Christian higher education, and I've been in it, and I've been at other schools, but I came to C of O about 9 years ago. And I was, you know, we work in an office setting, kind of a different kind of thing, but yet the same, because the minute that somebody would come to the door, or the minute the phone would ring, these students are up on their feet like nothing I've ever seen before. You don't have to tell them. They're, you know, they, once they have even the slightest grasp of what that goal is, they are on it. So I love that. I love that about our students. And I think you're right about the fit. So it's really great for them to find a place like C of O in a Christian college too. You know, that's becoming rare. Mm-hmm. For a institution to really stand for what they believe in, biblical values, and have the perseverance, there's that word again, to stick with that. So thankful for such a place to exist, and love that you're a part of it, and that you keep striving and keep holding up this this winning tradition like you just described. So thank you for bringing some of that background in and some of that history for our folks. But I want to end with a lighter note, if I may, and ask you, and I'm hoping that you even have an answer, because I don't know if you eat ice cream.
Occasionally.
Okay. So maybe that's a splurge or a treat.
I prefer steak.
Steak. Okay. Steak is the splurge or the treat. Oh,
I do like to cook. So I did make a peach pie the other day for Daniel. So
there
I did eat
go.
A couple pieces of
there
that.
You go. Some seasonal fruit, right?
Yeah. I try to keep it pretty healthy.
Okay. I gotcha. Well, good deal. Well, that's good to know. I think we can all relate to that. All right. Well, Coach Becky, we just appreciate you and thank you for coming on. And like I said, maybe a part two may be necessary, but we appreciate you for talking to us about leadership and perseverance. And I would just say, and I try to always end with this, if you are thinking about C of O, College of the Ozarks, as an option for you, where you can come and work to offset the cost of your education. So all students work, and we alluded to that throughout this time, our vocational pillar. It is a great place to be able to come and do that and work for your education and graduate debt-free. And don't hesitate, just apply. Everyone wants to ask me, what are my chances, or what about my son, my daughter, my niece, my nephew, my grandson? And I always say, just apply. You don't know until you try. So we encourage you all, and hope you've had a great time with us today. And we thank you for listening.